Appreciate the special songs that have been sung in the services today, and want to encourage those that have been singing and others to keep it up, because special singing is a part of our services. There's a real need for it, and a lot of times the Lord can work through singing in ways that He cannot work through in testimonies and exhortations and messages. So there's a real need for that, and I've appreciated songs today. Trust, I didn't want to step on anybody's toes tonight. But like I said, I had a burden to share, had a Bible study, and I know we have a lot of times for preaching. And so we had a Bible study I wanted to share with you tonight, and in the interest of time, a lot of times in a message, maybe, and even in Sunday school sometimes, time is very limited, and so there are some issues that maybe do not get addressed as fully or completely as what it would be good to address. So tonight, I don't want to scare anybody, but we will take a little bit longer than our usual practice is to cover this subject. And I trust by the time that we're done that you will have maybe a better understanding or be reminded of some things. Subject I'd like to deal with tonight is the history and the doctrine of the use of musical instruments in worship. And since when the Lord gave me this, it was after that time in the last couple meetings I've been in, it seems like that even in other people's messages, there have been a few things touched. And I believe Brother Marty did here, brought out a few things on this subject. And in Tulsa, Brother Lowe did. So I think the Lord, for whatever reason, the Lord is kind of reviving, I believe, an interest and understanding on this subject. So I'd like to share a few things with you tonight and address the subject. And the purpose of the study tonight, and it's a lesson, and I believe the way to redeem the time, I will just give you the lesson, and at the end, if you all have any questions or want some clarifications, we'll leave it open for that. The purpose of the study tonight is not to establish a ritual observance of something, nor to act on the abstinence of having musical instruments our service to make ourselves more righteous than other people that we may not feel have as much light. The purpose tonight of the study is to see what the Bible teaches, what it does not teach, as well as I want to share some of the historical perspective with you on the evolution, if you will, of musical instruments in worship, not only in the early church, but also in the 19th century, more modern history. The issue is not whether musical instruments are right or wrong. Using a musical instrument is not a moral issue. And so I want that to be very clear tonight, and I want to be careful that you will know what I think about the subject by the time we're done. It won't take you very long. But I also would ask you to give consideration, if there are a few points maybe that you haven't heard brought out this way, to give it some time and consideration and prayer. I guess I'd say, as Paul is, consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding. The issue, again, is not whether musical instruments are right or wrong. We have a piano in our home, and I've been blessed standing around the piano singing, and etc. I've been blessed in my soul doing that, singing hymns around the piano. And I believe that probably all of us can acknowledge times we've been together in a group, and maybe we've been standing around the piano, or someone had a guitar, and singing and playing and been blessed in our soul. But I want us to understand that although it's not a moral issue, the question is it an acceptable part of our active worship to God? And the key here is worship. Because it's not wrong to have a musical instrument. It is not wrong to play the piano. It is not wrong to appreciate and to love musical instruments as long as it's tempered. But the question is then, is it acceptable in our active worship to the Lord? In other words, the time that we set aside. Now, worship should be a 24-hour event with us. But we're talking about the time that we set aside, like tonight, to actively worship God as a body together. Is it acceptable? Is the use of musical instruments acceptable to God in this dispensation? And so that's what we want to address. There are many things that God does not mention by name in the Bible. A number of things that God does not mention in the Bible that I do not do. Now, some would take the mindset, and there are a number of people that do that say if it's not spelled out in the Bible, then you can do it. But if we follow that to the nth degree, we're going to find ourselves doing a lot of, nothing doesn't say not to smoke marijuana. That may be kind of an extreme example. But it doesn't say not to do that in the Bible, but yet there are some very clear biblical principles involved. And in all of our Bible study on all subjects, we need to realize that the Bible teaches some principles that we need the Spirit of the Lord to give us understanding in how to apply them practically in our daily life. The New Testament never says one time, thou shalt not use musical instruments in worship. It does not say that. But it does tell us how to worship God. Does someone know how it tells us to worship God in the New Testament? That's right, in worship in what? In spirit and in truth. And that's in the fourth chapter of John. Remember when Jesus was speaking to the Samaritan woman at the well? And Jesus said, the hour is coming. And, well, let's just turn and read it. I want to be sure we get this right. It's John in the fourth chapter in the 23rd verse. Could someone read that for us, please? John 4:23. The way that Jesus phrased that makes me know that there was a worship that was going on up until this time that was not in spirit and in truth. It meant that there was some worship going on, and someone mentioned, actually, it was up in Tulsa, they said religion, anybody can have religion, if you worship a cow, that's religion. And up until the coming of Christ, there was a lot of worship going on, but Jesus said the hour is coming. Which makes me know that the hour had not been, in the Old Testament, that was not the perfect example of worship that the Lord was looking for in this dispensation. And He also says that the true worshipers, which also makes me know there are going to be false worshipers. Because if there is true, there must be false. Just like if there is light, there's dark. I mean, there's light, there's dark. Those are contrasting things. So if there's such a thing as a true worshiper, it means that there are false worshipers as well. And it was not until the coming of Christ, He said the hour is coming and now is, when the true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. And those are the two ingredients to acceptable worship to God. It's spirit and it is truth. What does it mean to worship? What does the word worship mean? Feel free to speak up. Means to honor. Means to give glory. It means to reverence. Pay homage to. Devotion. That's what God is looking for. And if we will take this again, we're not talking about a moral issue tonight. The question is it acceptable in our worship to the Lord? If worship means adoration and glory and praise, and it must be in spirit and in truth, that's where we define our parameters tonight. It's within that boundary, within those boundaries. The reason we worship God is to give Him praise, and it is also for the spiritual edification of the body. But I want us to understand, until the coming of Christ, people did not and could not worship the Father in spirit and in truth as the Father desired them to. Because the Holy Spirit did not dwell in men's hearts. Where did He dwell? Temples made with what? Made with hands. And literally, the very Spirit of God dwelt in a room in the temple, the most holy place, the holiest of holies. That's where the Spirit of the Lord was. And it wasn't until Christ said, "It is finished," and died on the cross, that the Spirit of God had access to leave that room to go into everybody's heart that would open up themselves to the Spirit of the Lord. And that is why all of the worship that we read about in the Old Testament, we have to realize that men did worship God with their hands. They worshiped God with ceremonies. They worshiped God with the burning of incense, with musical instruments. But by the same token, the Father was bringing them to a place in the New Testament that they would understand what true worship is. So that's what we want to discover as we look into the Word. The Scripture teaches in the conserved time, I believe most of you are familiar with this, it teaches us in Galatians as well as in Hebrews, it talks a lot about the law being a shadow of good things to come. And it talks about the types and the shadows that are in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is full of types and shadows that represent something spiritual in the New Testament. How many of you have offered a sacrifice in the last year? How many of you have taken a lamb or a calf and slaughtered it and placed it on an altar and burnt it up? If you have, I have some concern. But see, that's what they did in the Old Testament. And that was acceptable to God. In the temple, they burned incense. They lit their candles and burned incense. How many of you have done that in your act of worship to the Lord recently? Now, there are some people that do that still today. But we want to understand that in the Old Testament, they did not have spirit and they did not have the ability to live the truth that Christ came to bring us. And so their worship to God was with literal things. It was with the literal burning of the incense, with the literal washing of the hands. The priests would wash their hands before they would go in to the holy place. Wash their hands before they'd offer a sacrifice. Those were all very physical things. But in the New Testament, we don't practice that. And many people would say, but in the Old Testament, they used musical instruments. David did. And I want to bring out some things that the prophets had to say about David's use of musical instruments. At the same time, we want to realize that it was a type and a shadow of something to come. I want to bring out one Old Testament type, and I'm not going to take the time to read it tonight. I'm going to give you the reference. You can do it on your own time. In 2 Chronicles in the 5th chapter, verses 12 through 14, we have the picture of the dedications when Solomon's temple was being dedicated to God. And it said that there were 120 priests. I want you to get a little picture in mind. There were 120 priests. It was at the dedication of Solomon's temple. And it said they sounded their instruments. They had trumpets and they had other instruments. And they sounded them as one. And when they did that, it said the glory of the Lord came down and filled the temple. What does that bring to your mind of an event in the New Testament? The day of Pentecost. How many people were in the upper room? There were 120, weren't there? It is a beautiful type when you go and read 2 Chronicles in the 5th chapter, 120 priests sounding their instruments as one, and then the glory of the Lord came down. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. But we do not find there being a sound, instruments on the day of Pentecost, was there? What was in one accord on the day of Pentecost? Their hearts and their spirits were in one accord on the day of Pentecost. And when that happened, see, they were united around the common cause of Christ. And when that happened, the Holy Spirit came down. In the Old Testament, I don't believe they had the ability to get 120 people together to be blent in one spirit. So they used musical instruments to sound as one. On the day of Pentecost, they didn't need the instruments because their hearts were being tuned to spiritual things through Jesus Christ. Are there any comments or questions at this point? Just kind of wanting to build a little foundation. Musical instruments. I want to give you a little history of where they came from. And I'm going to, again, just to conserve time tonight, I'm going to give you the scripture reference. In Genesis, in the 4th chapter, in the 21st verse, the scripture teaches us that Jubal was the inventor of musical instruments. Jubal was 6 to 7 generations from Cain. And something, it said that he was the father of all such as handle the harp and the organ. We need to understand it did not take any godly talent or godly design to build a musical instrument. It took nothing of the Spirit to build a musical instrument. It was an invention of man. And something that is interesting and it's noteworthy when you study the Bible is that the descendants of Cain became known as the sons of men. Jubal was a descendant of Cain. And they were known then as descendants, as sons of men, whereas the descendants of Seth became known as the sons of God. And that was Noah was a descendant of Seth. Enoch, who walked with God, was a descendant of Seth. And they were known as sons of God. And this is what it means when you turn back to Genesis and read about God destroying the earth with the flood. It said that the sons of God were looking on the daughters of men and marrying them. That is referring to those that were the righteous Those that were the godly of the time, who were the descendants of Seth, they were beginning to marry outside of the order of the Lord and beginning to mix with the daughters of men. And the Lord knew that when that intermarriage began to take place, that it wouldn't be very long before everybody was living wickedly. So it's noteworthy, and this is not anything to build a doctrine on, but it is interesting to note that musical instruments came from the sons of men and not the sons of God. And then we find also in Ecclesiastes in the second chapter, maybe someone could just read that for us. Ecclesiastes in the second chapter in the 8th verse. So musical instruments, they came from the sons of men. Jubal, which was 6 to 7 generations from Cain. He was the inventor of musical instruments, and we find then that they were the delight of the sons of men. They delighted in them. And this, really, the scripture does not have just a real positive connotation. But understand that they drew themselves these things, and the sons of men, or the ungodly, and that's what it's speaking of, the unrighteous, delighted in the use of musical instruments. Does anybody remember one of the first accounts of the children of Israel, of what we would say God's people actively using musical instruments in a form of worship? Okay, let's go a little bit earlier than that. I think someone said it. When they crossed the Red Sea. And Miriam, who was the sister of Aaron. She, with the women, took tambourines and timbrels and got, after they crossed the Red Sea, and in rejoicing, it said they were beating their tambourines or whatever, and they were dancing as an expression of happiness, an expression of joy for being delivered out of the captivity of Egypt. And that is the first time that we find in worship to the God of Israel, instruments being used. I want us, before we go on, to consider what musical instruments do. Most of you all have been in a dentist office, haven't you? Do you notice that there is a similar type of music that is played in dentist office? Do you know there's a reason for that? How many of you gone into a dentist office and they just had a real heavy beat coming over the dill? What would that make you want to do? Make you want to get out and go, wouldn't it? You notice when you go into a dentist's office, they know there's probably some anxiety and they realize that you're a little fearful, maybe a little pain's coming. And so they have a soothing type of music that just wants to, in the flesh, kind of make you want to relax. And I don't know if they teach that in dentistry school. They probably do, because you can go in about any dentist's office and they're playing the same kind of music. There's a reason for it. Music has a way of setting a tone and it sets a mood. When you're happy, what kind of music do you like to listen to? Do you like to listen to just something that's kind of mournful and sad and a little bluesy? You don't, do you? You like to listen to something. I'm telling you what you like. You know what you like better than I do. But when people are happy, they want something a little bit more upbeat. Now, some of you probably go on walks or on runs. And some of you probably, a lot of people that have headphones on. What kind of music do you think they're listening to? Do you think, how many people do you think want to go on a fast walk and are listening to classical music? Something that might put some of us to sleep. They want something that invigorates, something that will help you pick up the pace. You go into a department store and you see the videos and all the bright lights and the kind of music. Do you know there's a psychology behind that? It does something to us. And folks, it doesn't matter how sanctified you are, and please excuse the expression, it doesn't matter how sanctified you are tonight, music has an effect on all of us. We are in the flesh, and what you hear has an effect on how you feel. Because music touches our emotions. We are emotional creatures. And when people get feeling a little bit sad, they don't want to listen to something that's a little more upbeat. They just want to kind of wallow in, or you understand, they just want to hear something just kind of low-keyed and soft and gentle to fit their emotions. Have you found that to be the case for musical instruments? For the kind of music people listen to? I'm not saying all kinds of music are even right to listen to, but I'm saying music has an effect on us. You remember when Saul was troubled in his spirit, he had David come in and play the harp to soothe his spirit? You know, I believe it probably did more soothing of the emotions than it did of the spirit. But it had an effect. We find that in the Old Testament, you will not find... Now, you will find, again, the example of Miriam. You will find that trumpets were used. We think of Gideon. We think about the children of Israel marching around the walls of Jericho. You will find them using trumpets and things. But as far as active worship, you will not find it until who comes on the scene? Someone said it. Who? Until David came on the scene. David was a man who loved music. And I want to again say there is nothing wrong with loving and appreciating music. Some people say, well, Church of God doesn't believe in music. I believe in music. When we sing and we have harmony, that's music. What I do not believe or espouse is the use of musical instruments in our act of worship. And I want it to be real clear the reason why, as a body, we have chosen not to. And especially for the young people. Sometimes it's easy to think, well, it's just a tradition. But by the time we're done, I trust that you will realize it's more than just a tradition. Why we don't use musical instruments in our worship service. David was a man who loved musical instruments. And he is the one that introduced them into temple worship. And some of you may have not heard it expressed this way, but David introduced musical instruments into temple worship of God without instruction from God. And I can prove that to you biblically. Or rather, we have no record of any instruction from God, and what we have record of is the prophets reproving people that use musical instruments like David did. And that's still in the Old Testament. David was a man who loved musical instruments. And just for your information again, 1 Chronicles in the 16th chapter, or the 15th chapter as well as the 16th chapter, we find that the children of Israel are going to get the ark back from the Philistines. Remember, the Philistines had the ark of God. And so David appointed some to go and bring the ark back. And David appointed players of instruments to take their musical instruments, and as the ark was coming back, David said, I want you to play. We find also in the 23rd chapter of 1 Chronicles, and I'm going to give you the references because we want to try to move through this as quickly as we can. In the 23rd chapter of 1 Chronicles, David made the instruments with his own hands, and he dedicated them for the use of worship in the temple. David did that. Now, it was not a prophet from God that said, use musical instruments. It was not the Levites or the priests who are the ones that were to stand as intercessories between God and man that said, the Lord has showed us to use musical instruments. It was David that did it. And if you go through and study the writings of David and the history of it, it will be David was the one that appointed, that made the instruments. David was the one that told the Levites, I want you to appoint some of the priests to play these musical instruments in the temple. Although David and the prophets received detail for every vessel to be placed in the temple, there is no record of any instruction being given concerning musical instruments. Do you remember when Moses received the information, when David received the blueprint from God on how to build the tabernacle? Do you remember how precise that God was in His instruction? God did not leave anything to Moses' imagination or for Moses to be the architect of it. God was specific in what furniture was to go into the tabernacle. He told them what colors to make the curtains. He told them how thick. He told them what material to use. He told them exactly where to place all of the furniture in the tabernacle. Precisely everything. Moses and Aaron were not the architects of the temple, or the tabernacle rather. God gave them everything. And it is noteworthy for us tonight that nothing was said about musical instruments. In worship in the tabernacle, they did not use musical instruments. There's no record of it. It was David that introduced musical instruments into temple worship. And until the time of David, with the precise instruction of God, God never told him to use it. And I think it's very noteworthy for us because not only did they use them, it's people that want to use musical instruments in worship, they always go back to David. But when you go before David, you will find that God gave no instruction for it. And God did not just forget to tell them to use musical instruments. But because David loved music, he thought, well, I love it, and so I think we'll use it in the worship of God. In 2 Chronicles in the 5th chapter, you will find again the first verse, Solomon placing instruments in the temple that were made by the hand of David. And you read through again that passage of Scripture, and it says, as was instructed by David. Give you another Scripture to refer to on your own time. Ezra chapter 3, verse 10. It talked about the priest using trumpets and cymbals after the ordinance of David. It's very interesting that all of these priests, when it's talking about the use of musical instruments, they're always going back and saying, we're doing what David told us to do. Or after the ordinance of David. It did not come from the priest. It did not come from the prophets. It came from a man who loved music. The Psalms, we all know David loved music, right? People say, well, just turn to the Psalms and see what it says. I don't even have many scriptures written down in Psalms. I have a few, but we don't need to read them because you can basically open up your Bible in Psalms and see where David is talking about musical instruments. Praise the Lord with the harp. Praise Him with the psaltery, with the timbrels and the cornets and the harps and the viols and all of these things. Psalm after psalm, David is saying, worship God that way. Praise God that way. Keep in mind, it wasn't before the time of David. And some people say, David did it, so it's okay for us to do it. I have a question for you tonight. Do we do everything David did? Well, David was a man after God's own heart. I want to tell you something that the man after God's own heart, something he did. He looked on another man's wife and lusted after her and had him killed in battle so he could marry her. So just because, my point is this, just because David did something does not make it right. I do not ascribe David or expect David to have lived to a standard of holiness. He did not have the ability because he did not have the Spirit of God in his heart. He had a tender heart. I'll say that. And he was a man after God's own heart because of that attribute and those characteristics. But if people that want to use David as a defense, and I've heard it and I've been through this with different people recently, you begin to examine people that want to use David as their source for using musical instruments because he was a man after God's own heart. Folks, I hope you're not living like David was tonight. So let's be careful about using him as our icon of spirituality in worship to God. David unilaterally instituted the use of musical instruments in the temple. We do not want to follow in his example in everything he did. And I will go a step further based on what I have found and what I have read that I agree with, that David was probably presumptuous in using musical instruments in worship. I want to give you a couple of scriptures to back that up. Isaiah in the 5th chapter. Could someone read verses 11 and 12, please? Isaiah chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. This was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, who I will say the prophets of old in the Old Testament, they spake as the oracles of God. This was the way that God communicated with His people. It was through the prophets. And we find now, and this was not talking to heathens. I want us to understand this. Isaiah was speaking to the chosen people. He was speaking to the children of Israel. And he said, woe unto them. See, they were celebrating the feast, and they were speaking about godly feasts here. Feasts that were instituted in the law that they should observe. And he said, woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, follow after strong drink. And then he said, and the harp and the viol and these musical instruments, but they regard not the work of the Lord. There was a pronouncement upon, or a woe pronounced on the children of Israel for the use of those, for those that were using musical instruments and following after strong drink. That was what the prophets had to say. Again, David, who loved music, brought him in because that's what he wanted. Then later, we find the prophets beginning to say, folks, you're using musical instruments and drinking strong wine, and you are missing the point. You're missing the point. Now let's go to Amos. If you'll turn with me to Amos, we have what another prophet speaks of in the fifth chapter. Amos chapter 5. Could someone read verses 21 through 23, please?
I hate, I despise the peace daily, and I will not smell in your solemn assembly. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat meat. Take thou away from me the noise of thy song, for I will not hear the melody of thy viols.
That starts getting pretty close, doesn't it? Many times people use, they say the Old Testament, they use musical instruments, but I want to say that that does injustice to what the Old Testament really teaches about the use of musical instruments. Even in the Old Testament, they did worship God with their hands and with creation of their own hands. But you begin to take all of this stuff in context, and you begin to get a little bit different picture of David's use of musical instruments. We find very quickly the prophets, after David instituted, which again, keep in mind, it was not before the time of David. When God gave the precise instruction, if God wanted a harp to be in the tabernacle, He would have told Moses. If He wanted one in the temple, He would have told him. He didn't do it. He was precise in everything else. And then we find that Amos, Isaiah, the prophets begin to come and reprove the children of Israel for the use of their musical instruments. And he said here, take away from me the noise of thy songs. He said, I will not hear the melody of thy viols. And then in Amos in the sixth chapter, we find another woe is pronounced. And to save time, let me just get down to the pertinent verse. The fifth verse, it says he was speaking again not to pagans here. He was not speaking to the heathen. He was speaking to the children of Israel. And he said, those talking a woe pronounced in the first verse, those that chant to the sound of the viol and invent to themselves instruments of music like David, that drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. There was another pronouncement placed upon those that were entering into feast days that were ordered by the Lord. And he said part of what they were doing was inventing themselves musical instruments, just like David did. Do you think the Lord approved of this? Based on what the Bible has taught here in these scriptures, do you believe the Lord approved of it? He didn't. And again, I don't want anybody to think I'm coming down too hard on David. He was a man after God's own heart, but we need to keep that in its proper context tonight in understanding this subject. We find that what the prophets had to say about musical instruments was unfavorable, and in essence is, God is not honoring this worship. Because it's not worship. It's entertainment, it's fleshly, it's to your own lust that you're using it. And there was a direct woe pronounced upon them who were using it in their worship, so-called, to the Lord. And I will say, if man's inventions fail to produce spiritual fruit in the Old Testament, how can we expect it to produce spirituality now? I want to change direction just a little bit. And before we do, I just want to ask, are there any questions or comments on this Old Testament aspect of it?
Those people that you read about, were they also in the wilderness of the kingdom?
Yes, it was all coupled together. Because he went through and told them about they were entering into the feast days. They were observing some of the things that the Lord had told them to, but right with it, he said, they were not grieved by the affliction of Joseph, therefore now shall they go captive with the first. They were not interested again. They had departed in spirit from following the Lord. These things became, although they were doing their feast, they were living in a way, and you find all through, we heard some in Sunday school this morning and in other areas, of the sin that was creeping among the children of Israel. But this is one of those areas that although they were keeping the feast days, and God approved of that, He said, you're not doing it in a proper way. And it's noteworthy again, and this is the point that I wanted to bring out, is one of the things the reproof was for, and it wasn't the whole woe that was pronounced, there were other things, but one of the things He specifically said is, you are making instruments like David is. Woe upon you. Any other comments or questions? The use of musical instruments in the New Testament, how many times is it mentioned in the New Testament? I can't find it. It's not there. In the Old Testament, we find, aside from David, and again, taking context when David started using this, that prophets pronounced a woe on that. It was not acceptable to God. God said, I'm not going to hear this from you. It's not acceptable to me. We find then in the New Testament that there is a glaring absence of the use of musical instruments. Glaring absence. Some say, well, it doesn't say not to do it. I'm not quite sure about that. It doesn't say it in black and white, but when you study it out and you begin to understand what is taught in the Old Testament and the history behind it, and then you look in the New Testament and seeing here Jesus saying, the hour is coming and now is, and in other words, it wasn't this way before, that the true worshipers are going to worship in spirit and in truth. And then we find, how did the apostles worship? It never one time says, like David, use the viol or the harp or the piano or the guitar. It never one time introduces musical instruments. If you'll turn with me to Acts in the 17th chapter. Acts in the 17th chapter. In the 22nd verse, it said, Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill. Now, Mars Hill was a place, it said, ye men of Athens. It was in Athens, a very, very wicked city. Much idolatry there, and there were gods and idols, heathens all over this place. And he said, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. And Paul took the opportunity to use one of their own gods to preach him a message. And he said, I passed by and beheld your devotions, and I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you. He said, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. God used to dwell in temples made with hands. I want you to understand, He doesn't dwell there anymore. And He said, neither is He worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things. What does the Lord need to worship Him? What does the Lord need? He needs life, and He needs breath. He needs a heart that is open to the Spirit. That is where acceptable worship comes from. He is not worshipped with men's hands. And if we begin to use musical instruments, and again, it's not a moral issue. And I want to give you a little example here. I have been blessed in my soul, I will say it that way, many times when I'm out in nature by myself. On the Oregon coast, some of you all have been there, or on the coast, maybe by yourself, and the sun's setting, and you hear the waves crashing, and you're walking along. You know, there are a lot of times you feel closer to God in that kind of setting, because you're closer to the Creator. Out in the forest, out, those are blessings, but yet we do not bring the creation, the things that God created, into our worship service. One, and actually this was in some writing I believe Brother Archie had on this subject, and he was quoting another author who gave an example of eating ham and eggs. He said, eating ham and eggs is not a moral issue. There's nothing wrong with eating ham and eggs in the morning, but if you try to make it part of a ritual observance in worship, there's a problem there, isn't it? And it's similar to taking a baby and washing them up. There's nothing morally wrong with washing a baby. But if we bring them up in our service and we have our little bowl of water and start dabbling and dripping it on our babies and our children, that's infant baptism. And we have a great problem then, because we're taking something that in and of itself is not right, wrong, and we're making it a part of our worship. Musical instruments is the same way. Nothing is wrong with playing a musical instrument in and of itself. But again, the question is it acceptable in worship to God? I've been blessed. Have you ever been blessed eating your eggs in the morning? Does that mean then that we're going to come in and say, okay, we're going to serve eggs because we can be blessed eating eggs? If we are serving the Lord, we should be blessed in everything we do. So people that say, well, are you saying you can't be blessed with the piano? I can't say that because I have been blessed standing around a piano playing it. But is the piano in itself, does God hear that? Is it acceptable in our act of worship to the Lord? I would have to say a resounding no. God is not worshipped with men's hands. In the Old Testament, said the worship was literal. In the New Testament, it's spiritual. It's something of our heart. Now, I'm going to read through, just quote some of the passages of Scripture in the New Testament, and we're not going to turn and read them. But I'm just going to go through the list. Said when in Matthew 26:30, when they sang a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Romans 15:9, I will confess thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. 1 Corinthians 14:15, I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with the understanding. Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart. Hebrews 2:12, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Hebrews 13:15, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. James 5:13, and this is the last one I want to read here, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him play the piano. That's not what it says. It says let him sing psalms. All of these scriptures are what the New Testament has to say about when we come together, it says sing. You have life, you have breath, that is what is acceptable to worship to God because His Spirit that is within you. We cannot get around the fact tonight that it does not mention. It is to the exclusion of musical instruments. All of these things that it told us in those scriptures I read you, that's what the New Testament has to say. All of those things can be done with the human voice. We can sing, we can praise, we can admonish one another, we can make melody in our heart, we can sing with our mouth, but a musical instrument can do none of those things. A musical instrument cannot give praise to God. And again, I want you to remember the ham and eggs analogy. You can be blessed eating ham and eggs, you can be blessed with the piano, but is it acceptable worship to God? No, it's not. So then, when we come together in a forum like this, it is not an acceptable thing to bring that in to our worship. The Bible teaches, and we've covered that as well as the historical part of this. We do not base doctrine on what Brother so-and-so did 100 years ago. I do not believe in that. I believe in looking at what those have done before us, looking at the example, allowing that to serve to teach us, to instruct us, see where the Lord's blessings were. I want those blessings in my life. There are some of the early church fathers that I'm going to quote to you tonight that tell us what the condition, what their thoughts on musical instruments and worship was. I do not build a doctrine based on this, but historically it is important to understanding the use or non-use of musical instruments. Because you could take some of the same people that I'm going to quote to you, and I could find things they said about other issues that I am 100% in disagreement with what they had to say. So we need to take this in context. Justin Martyr, who was 139 AD, had this to say. The use of music was not received in the Christian churches as it was among the Jews in their infant state, but only the use of plain song. He also said this, simply singing is not agreeable to children, but singing with lifeless instruments and dancing and clapping is, on which account the use of this kind of instrument and others agreeable to children is removed from the songs in the churches and there is left remaining simply singing. These are some of the early church fathers. Clement, who is one of the church fathers in Alexandria, 153 to 217 AD, he said this, the one instrument of peace, the word alone by which we honor God, is what we employ. He said, we no longer employ the ancient psaltery and trumpet and timbrel and flute. I think we need to take note of what the apostles did in the early morning church, and we're getting some insight with what these fathers said about 100 years after that time. Tertullian, AD 200, said this, musical concerts with viol and lute belong to Apollo, to Minerva and Mercury who invented them, and he said, ye who are Christians, hate and abhor these things whose very authors themselves must be the object of loathing and aversion. John Chrysostom, 345, and he was in the Eastern religion. This is when the church was going into apostasy. But this, if he was in Greece, and this is what he had to say, commenting on some of the Psalms. He said, "Just as the Jews are commanded to praise God with musical instruments, so we are commanded to praise Him with all our members, the eye, the tongue, the ear, the hand. These instruments were then allowed in the Old Testament because of the weakness of the people to train them to love and harmony. It was only permitted to the Jews as sacrifice was for the heaviness and grossness of their hearts, or their souls. God condescended to their weakness because they were lately drawn off from idols, but now, instead of organs, we may use our own bodies to praise Him with all. Instruments appertain not to Christians." I want to tell you what the Catholic Encyclopedia says. And I really enjoyed this quote. I'll just share that with you. "The first Christians," and it was speaking back to apostolic times, "the first Christians were of too spiritual a fiber to substitute lifeless instruments for or use them to accompany the human voice." This is what history has to say about the use of musical instruments. This is not something some say, well, it was since 1880 that this movement did not use musical instruments. It goes all the way back to the early morning church. Based on what the Old Testament teaches and based on the writings of the New Testament, coupled with a historical understanding of what they did in the early morning church, there was an abhorrence against the use of musical instruments. The Roman Catholic Church, and in studying this, I got a little bit of difference, as history is. Again, keep in mind, history is just one person's interpretation of past events. So when you study something, be careful about saying, well, this is what happened, because you read someone else and you'll find some conflicting thoughts and opinions. But the Roman Catholic Church began to adopt musical instruments during the Middle Ages. It was not, again, this is again a little earlier, but some said in the 5th or 6th century musical instruments began to be introduced, but they did not really take a major inroad in the church until the 16th century. So from the apostolic time, the early morning church, up until the 15th century, the 16th century, musical instruments, by and large, were not used at all, and rather they were deemed as very unacceptable in worship to God. Around the Council of Trent in 1545, almost they came very close to abolishing the use of musical instruments completely. They began to creep into some congregations. But we find they did not do that, but it was still largely opposed, even by the Catholics. It was largely opposed as being unscriptural to use. And this is from another church encyclopedia. I want to read to you a few more quotes about what some of the Protestant reformers had to say about it in later years then. Martin Luther, you're familiar with him, the reformer, 1500s, one of the first Protestants, the Lord used him. He said this, "The organ in the worship is the insignia of Baal. The Roman Catholics borrowed it from the Jews." John Calvin, in the 1500s, said this, "Musical instruments in celebrating the praises of God would be no more suitable than the burning of incense, the lighting up of lamps, the restoration of the other shadows of the law. The papists, therefore, have foolishly borrowed this as well as many other things from the Jews. Men who are fond of outward pomp may delight in that mute noise, but the simplicity which God recommends to us by the Apostle is far more pleasing to Him." I'm just wanting to trace this through history. John Wesley, 1700s, was a man who loved musical instruments, if I could put it that way. He was a man who loved music. And he said this, "I have no objection to instruments of music in our chapel." He's a man who loved it. But he went on to say, "provided that they are neither heard nor seen." Adam Clark pulled no punches when it comes to musical instruments. Again, I do not base a doctrine upon what these men said, but based on what the Bible teaches in the Old Testament and by what it teaches in the New, I trust it to start to be pretty clear to us. Adam Clark, I'm just going to read a little bit what he had to say about when the prophet, we read in Amos the 5th chapter, what Adam Clark said. He said, "I believe that David was not authorized by the Lord to introduce the multitude of musical instruments into divine worship. I am satisfied that his conduct in this respect is most solemnly reprehended by the prophets. And I further believe that the use of such instruments of music in the Christian church is without sanction and is against the will of God. They are subversive to the spirit of true devotion, and that they are sinful." He pulled no punches here. "I am an old man and an old minister, and I here declare that I never knew them productive of any good in the worship of God, and I have reason to believe that they are productive of much evil. Music as a science I esteem and admire, but instruments of music in the house of God I abominate and abhor. This is the abuse of music, and I register my protest against all such corruptions in the worship of the author of Christianity." He was pretty straightforward what his thoughts on the matter were. The Presbyterian Church, let's move up a little more current times. 1842, a question was posed to the governing board of the Presbyterian Church. In this, we're starting to get to, it was not too many years ago, 160 years ago, in this country. They asked the Presbyterian Church, "Is there any authority for instrumental music in the worship of God under this present dispensation?" I dare say the Presbyterian Church would have a different answer today. This is their answer in 1842. Not the least. "Only the singing of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs was appointed by the apostles. Not a syllable is said in the New Testament in favor of instrumental music, nor was it ever introduced into the church until the 8th century, after the Catholics corrupted the simplicity of the gospel by their carnal inventions." That was what the Presbyterian Church had to say about it. Charles Spurgeon, 19th century preacher. He preached in a Baptist church for over 20 years to 20,000 people every Sunday. They never used musical instruments. And somebody asked him a question. They asked him, "Why don't you use musical instruments?" And this was his response. This was Charles Spurgeon. He said, he quoted 1 Corinthians 14:15. He said, "I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding." He then declared, "I would soonest pray to God with machinery as to sing to God with machinery." In other words, the question is this acceptable worship? Does it bring glory to God? Does it give Him reverence? Does it honor who God is and what He has done in our life? And I have to say, I don't believe there's any place for it in active worship service. Again, it is not a moral issue. But I believe that there is a way that the Bible teaches that we are living in a day where people are catering to the things of the flesh. Not only on this subject, but on a lot of subjects we won't deal with tonight. But on a lot of subjects, people have taken something in the Word and they have rationalized it until it means nothing in their minds anymore. Holiness doesn't mean anything, because what is holiness? Your opinion, my opinion, until it means nothing. There's no work of holiness. Modesty is another such issue. People have rationalized and defined it to where it means nothing practically. Nothing practically. And I know what I'm speaking of here. It's happening in the religious world all around us. This is another issue that has happened. You look back at the history of almost every denomination in the United States, if it was before the 1850s, and you will find that they too declared plainly that the use of musical instruments was not according to Scripture, and actually it was wrong to use it in worship because it was unacceptable. Musical instruments did not really... There was a reintroduction of musical instruments in the 19th century. So I want to tell you just a little bit of the modern issue. After the Civil War ended in this country, it was around 1865, there was a preacher, and it's not the Benjamin Franklin that we're all familiar with, but there was a minister by the name of Benjamin Franklin in the 1865, and he noted that there were approximately 10,000 Christian congregations in the United States. And he made the observation that only about 50 of those congregations used musical instruments. And they were the wealthy, affluent congregations in the East that were getting more and more worldly, appealing to the flesh, catering to the things of the flesh. And this is in 1865. Folks, that wasn't all that long ago. This was in the United States. 50 congregations out of 10,000. The others rejected their use. And I believe all of us can see what's happened in this generation, generation preceding mine, those of you that are older, we can see what's happened with the use of musical instruments. It's turned into a very fleshly entertainment. That's what it's turned into. And right with musical instruments, and we're not going to get into this tonight. I do feel impressed to make mention of it. People say that anything that is invented, we can use it for the purpose of God. And so then we start using dramas, movies, puppet plays, comedy skits, and start bringing those things into our active worship service. What do those things appeal to? They appeal to the things of the flesh. You can be moved to tears by things of the flesh, but I want you to understand it will not minister to the Spirit. You can be moved by it. You can cry with it. But it will not minister to the things of the Spirit. I want to consider just a couple of objections to this. Some say that we can get more people to come in. Souls can be drawn if we will use musical instruments. We can win more people to the Lord. I believe people that believe that have a lack of spiritual understanding. And the reason is, didn't Jesus himself say in the 6th chapter of John that no man cometh unto me except the Father draw him? And I want to say this, what we draw people with is what we draw them to. If we draw people with things of the flesh, musical instruments, entertainment, you know, we could have this chapel full tonight. I'm confident. We could have this chapel fairly full tonight if we would change some things around. Musical instruments is one such thing that many people have looked to fill the place that the Spirit of God wants to fill. The absence of musical instruments, I'm going to be done very shortly here. The absence of musical instruments in our worship service does not make us our worship acceptable to God. Have you ever been in a... I don't want to even ask you that. I have been in services before where I felt an absence, I'm being very frank and honest, where I have felt an absence of the Spirit of the Lord in the singing, in what was being brought forth. I felt an absence of the Spirit of the Lord. Just because we do not use musical instruments does not mean that the Spirit of the Lord is going to anoint us in our midst. But what I am saying is the use of musical instruments begins to fill the void, because there's no worse place to be than a place where you don't have any entertainment, nothing to appeal to the flesh, and the Spirit of the Lord is not there. That is a miserable place to be. So then when the Spirit of the Lord is not there, what do we need to do? We need to find something to appeal to the flesh, to draw on our emotions, or to make it a little bit more exciting or interesting. I believe where the anointing of the Spirit is in our service, and I'm going to say in the preached word, in our prayers, and in our singing, when the anointing of the Spirit of the Lord is, there is no more wonderful place to be. When an absence of the Spirit, it's not a pleasant place to be. But we do not want to substitute things of the flesh in worship to God. And that's where musical instruments fall. No man comes to the Father but by me. Musical instruments can set a tone, come into service, and we can have the right tone. And then, right when the preacher's ready to give an invitation, there's a certain kind of music it's time to play to try to get people in a frame of mind and emotion to respond to the gospel. It may move to tears, but folks, it does no lasting spiritual good. Because true good is going to come from a repentant heart, and if we draw people with things of the flesh, that is what we're drawing them to. Jesus wants us to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. It's not an oversight that God left instrumental music out of Christian worship. I don't believe God made a mistake tonight. I believe He knew what He was doing. And I believe that for us tonight to presume that what may please us will please the Lord is very presumptuous. That's what David did. I believe that the New Testament, based even on what the Old teaches, and historically, we have a different picture. I want to conclude with one more scripture, 2 Timothy in the 3rd chapter, and I appreciate your attention tonight. Like I said, I know this is a little bit longer than what we normally take. 2 Timothy, actually, I think I said I wasn't going to say that again. 2 Timothy in the 3rd chapter, 4th verse. Talked about in the last days here, the first verse, it says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." In the fifth verse, "Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." And I have found that music has truly become a god of this world. People worship it because it moves. It affects us. There's a lot to be said for the type of music we listen to outside of worship service. We won't go there tonight. But I believe that we need to recognize what the use of musical instruments, its evolution in worship, what's taken place in the last number of years. Again, I'm interested in true worship to God tonight. That's what I'm interested in. That's what the Lord is interested in. And I just want to emphasize this. To the young people especially, and it's not just the young people, do your parents and grandparents tonight. There is a reason why we don't have musical instruments. It's more than what they did 100 years ago. It's more than tradition. It is based on what I believe, and if you don't believe or you didn't quite get it tonight, I'd encourage you to go study it for yourself. But I believe that there are some very clear principles in what the Bible has taught on the subjects that I don't question it. Tonight, I am fully persuaded in my mind on what the Bible teaches and what is acceptable worship to God. Again, acceptable worship will only come with a holy life. It will not come because we say, "Well, we don't have a piano here, so we're worshiping in the spirit." No, you may still be worshiping in the flesh. In other words, my point is this: the absence of musical instruments does not make us worship in spirit. It's how we're living every day. It's that spirit in which we are serving God every day that enables us to come together on times like this and worship God in spirit and in truth. I've also been in times and services where the anointing of the Lord was so great. Singing was in the spirit, praying, the preaching, whatever was going on. And I want to say there is no more wonderful place to be where there are saints singing in the spirit. Musical instruments would just get in the way. And it doesn't have to do with numbers tonight. It has to do with worship. So I appreciate your attention. Are there any questions about anything I've said? Sometimes things may not come out just right. So if you need some clarification, if I didn't say something just right, now is your opportunity to get some clarification. Are there any questions or comments? We have a song that says, "Tune your harps, ye ransom throng." I believe that that song would have direct reference to the children of Israel. If you all will remember the children of Israel, when they were in Babylonian captivity, they literally hung their harps up. It speaks of it in Psalm, it speaks of it in Isaiah. They hung their harps up and they didn't play them because they were in mourning. But when they left Babylon, when they were released and left Babylon, they took their harps down and they sang and rejoiced. The Lord has given us a great deliverance. He saved us from sin, so it's not time for us to hang up our praise, not time for us to hang up our harps, but it is time spiritually to open up our hearts to praise and adoration and worship to God. And then Revelation, maybe you were out. We dealt with that a little earlier. Is that answer the question? Yes, it was. It was around 1865 where I found, and that's where the minister Benjamin Franklin said that there were about 10,000 Christian churches in the U.S., only about 50 of them used musical instruments. Yes, I believe, and again, that's where I said I don't want anybody to go away thinking I'm down on David. But based on what the prophet said, I believe he was presumptuous. I do believe that tonight. But I do also believe that, yes, God did use David in a wonderful way, and we don't discount the Psalms. He wrote a lot of Psalms that are still applicable to us today. The Lord is my shepherd. I mean, a lot of wonderful psalms that I believe the Lord anointed. I believe He used it. And I believe He used His ability. But that's where we even have to be careful today, that we don't let natural ability or natural love begin to be a little presumptuous in using those even in our service to the Lord. We want them to be tempered by the Spirit. I believe, and let me, what I was thinking about was what Brother Jim brought out. Some of you weren't in Sunday, you didn't hear Brother Jim this morning, but he brought out how there is a, trying to think what word he used, the plan of God. The alternate plan. And I believe that God's original plan, based on the instruction for the tabernacle, musical instruments were not a part of the tabernacle. And I do not believe that God's original plan was for them to be in the use of the temple. I believe because David introduced them that, yes, God, because they were still worshiping in a literal way in the Old Testament, that God still did bless that. That's my personal opinion. I will put it out as that. Well, I appreciate your attention tonight. I trust that the issue will be clear.